remember, start with verse number 9. And I'll get to a lot of this. So that's just a starting place. Sounds like I'm starting in the middle. I'm just reading in the middle, but we'll get to it. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Amen. Put off the old man and put on the new man. Amen. That's what he's talking about here tonight. And there's a process that this involves that we're going to talk about. We're still talking about salvation is a big deal. And this is all a part of it. Amen. The fact that you can take off your old life like an old tattered garment and you can lay it aside. And you can put on a brand new garment. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember, Jesus gave a prayer about that. Remember that? The wedding garment. Remember that? He had a wedding garment. There was a man that didn't have a wedding garment on because he still had his old robe on. And Jesus said, that won't work here. Cast him out. Amen. He gives us a new robe, a brand new start. And that's what he told what we call the prodigal son or the lost son. He said, bring a new robe and put it on him. The best robe. Praise God. Let me tell you something. Anything out of a king's closet is going to be fine. Jesus doesn't buy his garments at Goodwill. Nothing wrong with Goodwill. I bought stuff at Goodwill. Don't get me wrong. Amen. But man, he don't shop at Walmart even. It comes out of the king's closet. It's going to be the best. Hallelujah. Amen. And so when he puts a robe on you, it's the best that there is. Amen. Praise God. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. I want to talk, first of all, tonight about a process in salvation that's called mortification. Mortification. It means a change of practice or new conduct before God. We act a new way, amen, before God. Hallelujah. And that's what he's talking about here in these verses that we are using. The word mortify has become pretty much obsolete in the English language. How many here people use the word mortify very often? It's not very common, is it? It's if you've even heard the word, you probably heard it in church. Amen. Because it's not a word that people just talk about very much anymore. But it is in the Bible, in the King James, it talks about mortify your members. Amen. Let me go back to the first verse of that third chapter of Colossians when he said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Amen. In other words, he said, if you've been baptized, the Bible said you rise to walk in newness of life. You leave your old dead man and your sins in the baptistry, and you rise to walk in a new life, in a new way, in a new path. You have a new mind. You have a new spirit. You have a new heart. You just start all over again. And so he said that you rise to walk with Christ. Amen. And you seek things that are above. Everybody say things above. Amen. That's where the good stuff is. Amen. The Bible said every good gift comes from the Father of lights. Amen. Comes down from the Father of lights. So everything good, folks, is up. So look up. Amen. Don't be looking down. Look up tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. This whole world is constantly trying to pull you down. It doesn't want you taking the high road. It doesn't want you making it look bad. It doesn't make you want to make it sound bad. So it tries to pull you down to its level. But you and I, we're headed for higher ground. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're looking up today. So he said, we seek things that are from above. He said, set your affection on things above. Set your affection, your desires, your wants. Amen. We shouldn't just seek the things that are here on the earth. Amen. Praise God. And that's a good message for 2014. Hallelujah. And don't just seek stuff here. What did the Bible say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. So we don't need to get our eyes just on the stuff down here. I'm not saying it's wrong. We need certain things. Everybody does. Everybody needs a shelter. Everybody needs food. Everybody needs clothes. Everybody needs transportation. There's things that we need. There's nothing wrong with those things. I'm not going to tell you whether you should drive a Volkswagen or a Rolls Royce. That's not my decision. Amen. Praise God. As long as you got your priorities straight, I won't criticize you. But if you're driving a Rolls Royce, you better be paying a bunch of tithes and giving a lot of offerings. If you're not, your priorities are messed up. Praise God. Amen. And so our priorities need to be straight. He said, set your affections on things above. You got that again? Notice that's the second time he said that, right? Things above. Now listen to this, verse 3. He said, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So what does that mean, you're dead? The Bible said we were dead in trespasses and sins. And so when we repented, we died to sin. And after we died in repentance, we buried that old man in the waters of baptism. We got rid of him. We laid him down. Now he'll try to resurrect every day. And right? Yeah, he'll resurrect every day if you'll let him. But you got to put him off. No, we're not going to let that happen. Amen. That's why verse 5, he said, mortify. The word mortify is a Greek word that means put to death. Put to death your members. Amen. Slay them. Put them in. And that's not literal, of course. Amen. Now, Jesus said that one place. He said, if your eye offends you, he said, pluck it out. Pretty strong, isn't it? He said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. Now, what was he saying? That teaching, that method of teaching is called hyperbole. It is overstressing. It's a method of speaking. It's not to be taken literally. But it's a method of speaking that you use the obvious and you go far above what you could be called for. Although, if that's what it took to be saved, it would be worth it. It would be worth it. But still, that's not his point. His point is that we've got to mortify these members. We've got to watch our hands, our eyes, our mouth, our ears. Amen. Everything, all of our senses, because they'll get us in trouble, won't they? So we have to be very careful. And that's why he said, we mortify them. We put them to death. That is the old man. How do you do that? Through repentance, right? Through repentance. That's how we do it. Amen. And then, of course, we rise to walk in newness of life. It's not just about dying to the old man. It's about putting on a new man. Putting on a new man. Amen. Let's look at it. He said, therefore, mortify your members which are upon the earth. And then he talks about these things. Fornication. The word fornication comes from the word pornea. And it means every form of sexual sin. It's not just today fornication to us in our English vocabulary would mean sexual relations between unmarried people. But it means far more than that. In its original context, it means every form of sexual sin. And then he talks about uncleanness, just filthy, vile things. He talks about inordinate affection. That means being a slave to passion. That you are controlled by your passions, by your desires, and you cannot control yourself. And then he talks about evil concupiscence. Concupiscence means the desire for wrong things, an overwhelming desire for wrong things. Now, I think the story that the little boy told illustrates this very well. He had two dogs. He had a dog, a white dog, and had a brown dog. And somebody asked him, said, which of these dogs is stronger? He said, well, that's easy, sir, the one I feed the most. Amen. Something you don't feed, after a while, it'll starve it to death. So if you feed your mind good things and you feed your spirit spiritual things, you'll be a spiritual person. If you entertain yourself and feed yourself on carnal things, then you'll become a carnal person. Isn't that not right? Amen. What you read, what you see, what you hear, what you listen to, all of those things, what you put in your mind, that's the kind of person you're going to become. Garbage in, garbage out, right? But if you put in good things, put in good things, put in good things, then that's where your strength is. Amen. So he's talking about putting off some old things here, some things that we need to get rid of, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In other words, God's going to judge people for these things. And then he talks about covetousness. Covetousness is uncontrolled desire to have more and more and more. We have a lot of covetousness in American culture today. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that right? Yes, we do. There's a lot of that. We buy things we don't need simply for the need sense of buying. Amen. You know, in times past until somewhat recent years, the word shopping didn't mean what it does now. Amen. Some of you remember days perhaps in days past, you know, you didn't go to town real often. You know, I remember growing up, we went to town usually once a week. And that's when we went to church on Sunday. We'd go to church and after service, Mom would go to the grocery store. And it was not a super Walmart. It was a grocery store. Amen. We'd buy the things that we needed and we'd take them home. And that pretty much was it. Amen. And then the gas crisis came, right? And then it was really tough. Amen. Gas went all the way up to 75 cents a gallon. And we thought, what in the world are we going to do? So people started driving less and less. Now gas is nearly $4 a gallon and people are driving more and more and griping all the time we're doing it. But we're doing it. And we drive far more now than we did then. Praise God. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying this is what reality. This is reality. Amen. Now we talk about poverty. Poverty, people have microwave ovens, cable television, flat screen, or what do they call them things? And cell telephones. Praise God. And all the things they've got, and then what we call that poverty. Well, when I was growing up, that wasn't what poverty was. Amen. Even people that were middle class didn't have all that stuff. First of all, half of it didn't exist. First time I saw a microwave oven, I thought, nah, that thing will never catch on. Amen. I didn't ever think it'd work. But you know what? It did. My mom, I remember we got a microwave oven. My mom said, why in the world would I do one of those things? We gave her one. Guess what? She never was out one after she had one. It's that's the way it is, isn't it? You know, cell phones, and they're a blessing and a curse. Amen. They're, well, people can't even drive a car without them anymore. I was behind the lady today, and she was, boy, I could tell she was getting with it up there. Boy, she was. And going this way and that way and this way. And I had no idea what she's going to do. So, but you just see the point. Is it with covetousness, it's kind of got a hold in our culture today. Amen. And the sad thing is people think they can't do without things. We live in a time, literally, did you know people, especially young people, have literally been murdered for their tennis shoes or for their jacket because it had a certain name on it. If you're a wise parent, I wouldn't buy my kid something with that name on it. Honey, you got to understand, I don't want you to get killed. Plus, it's stupid to pay that much money for something just because of somebody's name on it. If you want me to wear your name, pay me. You want me to advertise for you, pay me. Amen. Praise God. I don't want to be wearing your name around. And you didn't do much for me. These guys didn't do anything for me. They made me pay for it. Praise God. Jesus gave me his name for free. Praise God. And he did something for me. He washed my sins away. So covetousness, it's a spirit of the age, isn't it? He said, we got to die to that. We got to die to that. I hear people say this, and I know what they mean, but I think it would be good if we would banish certain things from our vocabulary. You ever heard anybody say, I'm dying for a Coke? Brother, no offense, I'm not talking about you. It didn't even come to my mind until I said Coke. Amen. But I've been riding down the road with people who, you know, we hadn't been in the car but 30 minutes. I said, I'm just dying for a drink. No, you're not. Amen. My old body does that. It'll tell me, you need to stop and get something. I said, no, you don't. And I won't stop. I just don't want to listen. I don't want this flesh telling me what to do. I'm going to stop when I want to stop. Not just because you tell me I need to. You remember Dr. Pepper used to have 10, 2, and 4. Remember that? 10, 2, 4. And it was a slogan. You're supposed to have one at 10 o'clock for break, 2 o'clock for break, and then one at 4 o'clock in the evening. Amen. That was the way it was set up. 3 a day, that's a lot of Dr. Pepper. Amen. It's a good advertising strategy, isn't it? Amen. But you got to say no to the flesh. You got to not let it have its way. Amen. You got to force it to do things it doesn't want to do, even like coming to church. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. I really think, and this is just my opinion. I'm not getting on anybody's case here. This is just for your consideration. Amen. But you know what? If I'm not too sick to go to work, I'm not too sick to go to church. If I'm not too sick to go to school, then I'm not too sick to go to church. Amen. I was a young man, and he about church time, he'd start getting sick. Amen. Oh, I'm just not feeling good. Well, you got to go to church because ain't nobody here to stay with you. Amen. So guess what? Once he got to church, he started feeling pretty good. Amen. But if you'll listen to your stinking flesh, you'll do it. You'll start having a headache every day right before church. Yep. Old arthritis start cutting up right before church. If you listen to it, it'll do it. The devil will see to it that it does. Amen. That's real good, Brother Grissom. Thank you for reminding me some of that stuff. Amen. And then in verse 7, it said, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. You know, some of us used to live like that. That's what the Bible said. But verse 8, we read this. It said, but now you also put off all these. We put them off. Listen, he even adds to the list. He said, anger. We did put that off, right? He lists three things here that have to do with it. Listen to these. Anger, wrath, and malice. All those are related. Anger. What's anger? Anger is it's the kind that just flashes up real fast. You know what I'm talking about? It's a flash of anger. I mean, just more right now. You know, some folks, I mean, they're all over you right quick, and then after that's over, they calm down. But it's just quick anger, and that's one kind of anger. Then the other one has the simmering kind that just stays angry all the time. You ever met anybody like that? They're always angry. It's got an old angry spirit all the time. It's under the surface, just simmering. Amen. And then there's the word malice. The word malice, that's the motive of it all. The motive of anger. You know, there's a malice. It's the motivation to do evil for the sake of doing evil. Now, there's one, you know, if you steal something because you're hungry, you stole it because you're hungry. But if you steal it just to take it from somebody else just because you're bigger and you can, that's malice, you see. The motive is the difference. Malice, it's the motive of evil, just simply doing evil things for the sake of doing evil things. That's what malice is. And so you got to lay that aside. Of course, blasphemy and filthy communication and lying, all those things. He said, we put all that off. We don't do that anymore. Amen. Praise God. And he said, we put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So whenever you put on the new man, you're a new person. You're renewed. And you take on the image of Jesus Christ. That's what Christians do. Isn't that right? That, to me, the beauty of this is that after you take on Jesus Christ and you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and then you try to do the things you did before, you can do them, but you don't feel the same about doing them. The pleasure that you felt before, you may feel, but it's very short-lived. And then there comes a weight of condemnation upon you and conviction, and you don't enjoy that anymore because there's something inside of you that says that's not who you are anymore. You're not that person anymore. If you want to be happy, you can't do that anymore. Don't take me there. Don't do that to me anymore, because Christ is in you and you're a new creation and a new creature, and old things are passed away and all things have become new. So you're renewed in Jesus Christ. So those things, you got to put all that off, because it doesn't fit you anymore. You're not that person anymore. You can't enjoy living like that anymore. Isn't that right? Amen. So we put all that off. Verse 11 is an astounding verse. This is great liberty right here. Look at this. He talks about we're created in him where there is neither Greek nor Jew. Did you know in Jesus Christ, there is no racial prejudice. In Jesus Christ, there's no racial prejudice. You're not a Greek. You're not a Jew. You're not a black, you're not a white, you're not a red, you're not a yellow, you're not a brown. Amen. You're a son of God or daughter of Christ. Amen. That's what you are. And we're all equal. We're all the same. So Jesus Christ, he took care of all of that. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Praise God. He tore down, the Bible said, that middle wall of partition. He uses Greeks and Jews here because the Greeks thought they were smarter than everybody. And the Jews thought, well, we're the children of God. He loves us and don't love nobody else. Amen. You may be smarter, but you're lost. God don't even love you. That was the Jews' idea. The Greeks' idea, well, you're not even smart enough to know our God. Well, our gods is a whole bunch of them. And anybody that believed in their gods couldn't be too smart. Amen. Because it was their God is a mess. Man, it is a mess. Divorcing one another, fighting one another, killing one another, hating one another's kids. Who'd want a God like that? But anyway, we got people like that. We don't need a God like that. Amen. So he said, so a true liberty, he does away with these racial barriers. Isn't that great? Amen. I think that's awesome, and I think that's important that we understand that today. And then he said there's neither circumcision or uncircumcision. That is, he did away with ceremonial differences. Amen. Now everybody comes on the level ground of Calvary. Praise the Lord. The Greeks, you know, you had to be real smart and real enlightened before you could ever come to their God, because you got to be just so intellectually above everybody else. And there's still people like that. Right? That still exists. There's even a false part of Christianity like that. Amen. Have you ever heard of the lost books of the Bible? There's not any. If they're lost, we wouldn't know it. What they mean by that is the Apocrypha. It's not lost. It was just not a part of the Bible because it contradicts the Bible. So there may be some historical value in some of those books, and there is. They have some historical value, but they disagree with what's in the Bible. So they were not included in what we call the canon, or the books that make up the Bible. That's why they're left out. You can buy a Catholic Bible. It has 22 more books than ours does. And it includes the Apocrypha. And again, nothing wrong with the Apocrypha. You want to read it, have at it. Amen. Praise God. But you get some book that starts talking about a love affair between Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene, you better get rid of that, because that's just somebody's lie. Amen. Amen. Anything that contradicts what you've got right here is not true. Because these big books here do not conflict one with the other. They complement one, and they complete one another. And you get beyond that and you start getting all that other stuff and saying, well, you know, this contradicts that. Well, that's why it's not in there. Because it contradicted what was in the scriptures. And so thank God. Amen. I'm glad we have the Bible. How about you? Amen. So there are some people, you know, they got this deal that they're smarter than everybody else, and you got to be real smart to be saved, and only a few people can really understand. And that's not true. The Bible said, though a man be a fool, be simple. Amen. God will reveal truth to him. Amen. You don't have to be an intellectual to be saved. You just got to have faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it takes to be saved. So the ceremonial law is torn down. And then cultural, barbarian, and Scythian. These were groups that were looked down on. And their cultures were not as high as the other cultures. Amen. Now we'll say this. When we have a relationship with Jesus, it makes us want to be better people. Yeah. Right? It makes you want to take a bath and clean up. Right? Amen. It makes you want to be a better person. I've observed this. It's very, very interesting to me. People oftentimes, especially in Colombia when we were there, people would come to God. In one generation, they were so poor. And they didn't have hardly anything, and didn't have a lot of education, didn't have much of anything, and didn't even have much hope. And they come to the Lord, and they serve God, and they love God, and they start to improve their lives. And then their children get education. Amen. Their children have far more than the parents had in their generation. And by the third generation, some of them are doctors and lawyers and university educated. And you just see how it lifts people. When you serve Jesus Christ, it makes you want to be better. It makes you want to lift yourself up. Amen. And so it changes that, because it makes you want to be a better person, right? Amen. Praise God. And so culturally it changes us. And then class. The Bible said there's neither bond nor free. You know what? In the early church, this was very interesting. And even today, in the early church particularly, there were, there would be churches and people's houses generally, and it wasn't unusual for one of the servants, we would call them really slaves because they were bought and paid for by somebody, but it could be one of the slaves could actually be the pastor of the church, and he could be pastoring his master. The man that owned him and his family, but he could be the pastor, and he could be pastoring that man. And as far as they were concerned, it was level ground. Amen. It was level ground. So you see, Christianity tore down all kinds of barriers and lifted things up and made the world a better place. Amen. In every way, it's made the world a better place. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It has made the world a better place. And now, of course, in America, we're trying to reverse all of that. Praise God. I saw something interesting today, and I thought about it, and it seems true to me. But have you ever heard an atheist go after a Muslim? Why do they only go after Christians? If Christians go after Muslims or any other group, you're not acting like a Christian. Other than conversion, right? We're not to hate anybody, and we're certainly not to destroy anybody. We're certainly not to kill anybody. Our job is to convert people to Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Our job is to love people to Jesus Christ. It's real quiet here. Huh? Brother Bacon said that's because we're thinking. Amen. Praise God. That's our job, is it not? Amen. That's right. It is. And talking about putting off the old man, putting on the new man. Amen. He said, now he told us all that stuff we got to put off. That's a bunch of stuff, wasn't it? Listen to this. Verse 12, he said, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. First of all, he said, put on bowels of mercy. Bowels of mercy. That's an interesting word. Bowels of mercy. You know, in ancient culture, the heart didn't mean anything. It was the bowels that were important. Because your feelings here are not here. See? And so they talk about bowels of mercy. It was in, you know how the pit of my stomach sunk. That's where you feel. And so they thought the heart was not that important. Well, it is, of course. Now we say, I love you with all of my heart. Then they would have said, I love you with all of my bowels. Somehow it's not as poetic, is it? And it certainly don't look good on a card. But see the difference, how culture has changed and time has changed and understanding certainly has changed. Amen. But bowels of mercy. We're supposed to be merciful people. He said, put on mercy. Everybody say, put on mercy. Put on mercy. Put on mercy. Amen. In the church, we need mercy. Amen. If you got old judgmental spirit, get off of that. Get rid of that. Amen. Put on mercy. Praise God. You want to help people to be saved, right? We want to forgive people. We want to pick them up. We want to help them. Don't be judging them, putting them down on two Facebook and all that stuff. Amen. Praise God. Encourage people. Let's say that together. Encourage people. Amen. Put on mercy. Put on mercy. I'm talking about being a Christian here tonight. Not a super Christian, just a Christian. Kindness. Isn't that great? I like kindness. There's not a lot of kindness in this world. Have you noticed? Be kind to people. Amen. Just be kind to people. Say a good word. Have a smile. Amen. Treat them with respect. Amen. Humbleness of mind. I'll talk more about humility very soon. Meekness. What is meekness? Meekness is power under control. It's what it is. It's power under control. Amen. It's like the bridle in a horse's mouth. You know, a horse could stomp on you and trample you and take you out, really, because he's so strong. But you have power over him, and he surrenders that to you, and it comes under control. Amen. The gas pedal on your car, amen, it depends on how you use that thing. It can, you know, it's power under control. When you get up to 55, 70, you know, you're supposed to back off of it. Amen. Praise my little rice burner, you know. I'm buzzing down the highway and you know, I hit 70 and that speedometer's got a whole lot more on there. And it wants to keep going. Amen. It wants to just feel that breeze, man. Then I think of my little wife and what she'd say. And I'll kick it on up a little bit, you know, just see if it really does work. But and then I'll control it and pull it back. Especially if I see a black and white car. That's power under control. That's what meekness is. You could do a whole lot more than you're doing, but you just won't do it. You have the power to speak back. You have the power to return what they said and a little bit more, but you don't do it. You might have the power to knock the daylights out of them, but you don't do it because you're meek. You have your power under control. That's what meekness is. So we learn how to be meek. That's the Holy Ghost, isn't it? That's how the Holy Ghost works in us. And thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Woo! How did this get in there? Long suffering. If you're going to be a good Christian, you have to put up with a bunch of stuff. Amen. You got to put up with a bunch of stuff if you're going to be a good Christian. Some people got an awful short fuse to be a Christian. Some of you, you need to work on your fuse. Put some length on that, buddy. Learn not to blow up quite so fast. Amen. Praise God. And so long suffering. This is good. Forbearing one another. Now, what that word really means is putting up with one another. Forbearing, that's a good way to say that, putting up with other people. Have you ever had to put up with somebody? Well, you're putting up with me, aren't you? Have been for 8 years. Thank you very much. Amen. But that's forbearance, putting up with things. Just don't get put out, but put up with folks. Amen. Say, well, you know what? Not exactly my cup of tea, but they'll get better. Praise the Lord. That's my brother. That's my sister right there. Amen. They're different. And, things are different. They kind of add a little spice to life. Amen. Now, here's the thing, folks. I want you to remember this. If somebody's in the body, Jesus put them there. Let me say that again. If somebody's in the body, Brother Grissom didn't put them there. You didn't put them there. Jesus put them there. And if he put them there, you better put up with them. He's still putting up with you. Amen. Right? He's still putting up with you and me. Praise God. Well, that's enough of that. I can see where you got the point. Let's go on here. Forbearing one another. He said, forgiving one another. Well, are we back to that again? Yep, it's there. Amen. Forgiving one another. And I might forgive, but I sure won't forget. And you really didn't forgive, did you? Amen. If you want to hang on to a bad feeling, why in the world you want to do that? I don't like feeling bad. I don't know about you. I don't like being mad. I don't like feeling bad. I just want to get over it and get on. So how do you do that? By forgiving. Just turn them over to the mercy of God. Amen. Lord, help me to just get this out of my mind, get this out of my heart. Yes, it hurt. I'm sorry that it happened, God, but help me just get over this and get over these bad feelings. Get all this junk out of my spirit, God. Get all this junk out of my heart here. Amen. Fill me with your love. Help me to love them, God. Help me to forgive. Help me to forgive. Amen. Help me, Lord. Remember you had mercy on me. Remember how many times you've forgiven me, oh God. Help me today. Just let it all go. Let you deal with it, God. And that's how you get it out of your heart, out of your spirit. Amen. And then it's, as I said before, forgiveness is like a scar, because you look at the scar, you know that there was a wound, but it's not a wound anymore. And it's healed up now. You know what happened. You know when it happened. You may know the details, but there's no pain because you've allowed it to heal. Amen. That's the difference. That's how you know you've forgiven somebody, is you're left with a scar, but you have no wound. That's how you know when you've forgiven. Amen. Praise the Lord. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Amen. Forgive them as Christ forgave you. And above all else, put on charity. That is Christ-like love, God kind of love, which is the bond of perfectness. Amen. You see, everything about the Christian life, the motive is love. Everything. Everything about Christianity. Everything about Christianity flows out of love. That's how you can forbear. That's how you can forgive. That's how you can be long-suffering and patient. That's how you can be joyful in tribulation. That's how all of those things have it. It all springs from the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. That's how it all comes from. Amen. And if we lose that love, then we can do none of those things. It all comes from love. Let me ask you, how much do you love Jesus? And you can answer that by how much you love your brothers and sisters. Jesus said, if you do it unto the least of these, my brethren. Everybody say the least. Not the greatest, but the least. If you've done it to the least of these, he said, you've done it unto me. That's why you better be kind to everybody. Amen. Praise God. Some people only want to hobnob with the high and the mighty. Amen. You didn't find Jesus there. Where did he go? To the sheep gate, pool of Bethesda. Amen. He went where there was need. He ministered there. Praise God. Amen. And so we need to always be kind to everybody. Treat everybody well. Try your best. Treat everybody the same. And by same, I mean good. Amen. Yeah. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body. Here it is. This is awesome. And be ye thankful. And all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Say that together. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. Now that's what the scripture said. You don't know what's the will of God? Give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Amen. Praise God. In everything, give thanks. That's the will of God. Be thankful, he said. Be thankful. Isn't that great? Amen. I think that's awesome. Praise the Lord. You find yourself complaining, you need to turn that around. Have a praise meeting. Say, Lord, help me. I'm getting unthankful and I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be this way. I don't want ingratitude to get in my heart. I don't want to be an ingrate. I want to be thankful. Amen. I'm talking about being a Christian here today. Hallelujah. A lot more to being a Christian than going to church, isn't there? And it said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and to the Father by him. Amen. Let it be done. Everything be done with thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. Everything done with thanksgiving and honoring God. Praise the Lord. And so we want to put off that old man. Put off that old man. Hallelujah. Put on the new man. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And so this is the process of mortification. It's putting off the old man, putting on the new. Christianity is not about just getting rid of something. It's about taking on something. It's not just about the don'ts. It's also about the do's. Some people say, that's just a bunch of rules and regulations, a bunch of do's and don'ts. Well, it's a whole lot more do's than it is don'ts. Amen. If you just do the don'ts, then you're going to be a vacuum. You'll be empty. But you got to put on the new man. Put on the new man. Praise God. Amen. 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 And so this is the way that we live the Christian life. Get rid of the old man. Let's stand together. Get rid of the old man. Amen. That's what repentance is, isn't it? That's how we get rid of the old man, as we die to him. We bring him, we nail him to a cross. Jesus said that, I believe, did he not? Seems like I read where Jesus said, if any man would be my disciple, amen, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Amen. That's the mortification process. Amen. It's first of all, it's denying yourself, saying no, and take up your cross. What a cross is for? To hang around your neck? Nope. To put on a bumper sticker on your car? Nope. Crosses are just for one thing. They're for dying. They're for dying. Amen. They're for crucifying the flesh. Jesus said, let us take up his cross. Everybody say daily. Daily and follow me. Amen. That's how we live the Christian life. You can't live it without a cross in your life. Amen. You got to have a place for dying. Amen. But you don't just die, and you're resurrected, and you walk in the newness of life. You walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. And the scripture said, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. So that's the Christian life. Let's ask God to help us here today. Jesus, sometimes I do pretty good. Sometimes I do pretty bad. But every day, whether I'm doing good or I'm doing bad, I really do need you. And I know one thing, the love of God does not fluctuate with my report card, my job interview and description and evaluation. On the days I mess up, you love me just as much as the days that I did well. Your love doesn't change. Amen. It's not based on my performance. You loved me when I was still a sinner. God, you love me, especially now that I'm a child. But I ask you to help me. I need your help every day. Help me, God, every day to die to that old man. Help me to say no to the lust of the flesh. Help me to say no to carnality. Help me to say no to my own will and my own way. Help me say no to self. And Jesus, help me to say yes to the Holy Ghost. Help me, God, to rise and walk in a new life. Amen. Refresh me and renew me every day. I need you, Jesus, every day. Every day. I can't make it by myself. Not for one moment. Amen. Not for one day. I got to have help from God. Amen. Without you, I cannot do this. I can't live this life. Help me to put on the new man every day. Amen. Put off Johnny Grissom. Put on Jesus Christ. Help me to do that, God. I pray. Renew us. Refresh us. Encourage us. Strengthen us. Forgive us. Amen. Help us, God, to rise up and start over. All over again today. In Jesus' name. Thank you for new beginnings. Thank you for opportunities, God, to start fresh. Break chains and habits today in our lives. And help us, Lord, to take on freshness and newness. Amen. Help us to grow every day in Jesus Christ. We thank you for it, God. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. Lord, help us to be a Christian. Help us to be a real Christian. I pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for your time. Greet one another in the name of